The Lord be with you.
Good
morning and welcome to Grace Lutheran Church. Today is the fifth Sunday in Lent. We are happy you are here with us in the house of our Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Our order of service is printed in your bulletin this morning. The hymns are found in your hymnal. And we pray the Lord's blessings as he comes to us with his word and his grace this morning. A couple of announcements to bring to your attention. Next Saturday, we will be folding palms here at the church starting at 9 a.m. next Sunday is Palm Sunday, so if you'd like to come out and help with that, we would greatly appreciate it. Also, this coming Friday is our Capital Campaign family dinner. We'd like for everybody to come out and enjoy a nice dinner that we have planned. There's a sign-up sheet in the narthex out there if you'd like to sign up for that so we can get a head count for how many people are coming. The Holy Week schedule is printed out for you as well. On Monday, Thursday, we are having another great family dinner, a fellowship dinner, which Gabrielle Lawson and others have been putting together. There's a sign-up sheet out in the narthex for that as well. Maundy Thursday service, Holy Thursday, begins at 7 p.m. Good Friday service, there will be a noon service from noon to about 12:30, 12:45, 7 p.m. Tenebrae service. Holy Saturday, there will be a 6:30 Easter Vigil. I'm trying to keep this all together in my head. Easter Sunday, we are having a sunrise service out at our cemetery. If you're going to come to that, please bring a chair. If the weather doesn't look too good, we will be canceling that service. That's at 7 a.m. Easter Sunday. There is an Easter breakfast here at the church from 8:30 to 9:30, and then we will celebrate the resurrection of our Lord at 10 a.m. You all got that down, right? Okay, good. We pray the Lord's blessings as he comes to us now. Let us... The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. And they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. And taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left hand is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you, you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
In the holy name of Jesus, amen. There is a question that you always ask in your mind virtually any time you are confronted with something. Whether it seems like it's good or bad, whether it seems like it's something that is a burden or an opportunity, you are always asking this one little question in your head. I guarantee it. You may not walk out of here today saying, I resound with that, but I guarantee it. What's in it for me? What's in it for me? Somebody asks you to do something, and you might happily say, Sure, but in the back of your head, I guarantee you, you're asking that question, what's in it for me? You may take on some opportunity here in the community. You may take on some opportunity here at the church. You may take on something that is beyond your normal daily life. Somebody asks you to serve. Somebody asks you to give. Somebody asks you to do something for them. And deep down in our head, we are always focused on us. That's who we are in our sin. That's who we are in our fallenness and our brokenness. We are constantly asking, what's in it all for me? When's anybody going to worry about me? When's anybody going to take care of the needs that I have? When's anybody going to recognize the things that I have done? And will I be recognized if I do these things for you? What's in it for me? You find that today. A wonderful gospel reading from Mark chapter 10. Jesus sits down with his disciples. He's walking ahead of them, and they're amazed and they are afraid. They are absolutely amazed at what they've heard and seen, but they're terrified as to what's going to happen. He takes them aside, and he begins to tell them plainly what's going to happen to him. See, we're going up to Jerusalem. If you know anything about the Bible, Jesus does not like to go to Jerusalem. Jerusalem's the place that stoned and killed the prophets before him. He says, we're going to Jerusalem and see, the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes. They will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and they will spit on him and flog him and kill him. And 3 days later, he will rise from the dead. And did you catch verse 35? Jesus plainly tells the disciples the truth and reality of why we're here, what the gospel is all about, that the Son of God has come down from heaven. He is true God and true man. He is walking amongst his people, and he comes to die for the sins of the entire world. He comes to give up his life as a ransom for them, for you and for me, and for all who are lost. He comes with this glorious message of freedom through his suffering and death. He comes as one who says, I will suffer and I will be rejected just like you have been at various times in your life. I will do all of this out of amazing love for you. And what do James and John say? Jesus, we have a question for you. We want you to do whatever we ask. What's in it for me? What's in it for me? Jesus reveals the true plan and reality of God's love and his work. And all James and John can think about is themselves. Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory. There is no amazement about what Jesus has talked about in this gospel. There is no idea of the immense love. They are simply focused solely in on themselves. Let us sit one on your right and one on your left. Peter, James, and John. You've heard these guys the last several weeks here in Lent. Peter, as we heard several weeks ago, hears the same realities of what Jesus is going to do, that he's going to go and suffer and he's going to die and rise again. And Peter says, may it never be. And he's called the devil by Jesus. And now James and John, seeing how much Peter messed his confession and his faithfulness up with Jesus, they try to capitalize. Peter messed this up. Let's see if he can give us a little taste of the glory. So they ask Jesus, give us whatever we want. After all, you're the great bread king. We might as well just call you our genie, Jesus, because you just give out things left and right, and that's really what we want from you. What is it that you would ask of Jesus if you had this kind of opportunity? Be careful. Be careful what you think about that, and be careful how you ask that question in your head, because I guarantee you it will be a struggle. It would be a struggle about God's will versus your will. It would be a struggle about what God truly has planned for you and what you think you should have happening in your own life. And yet these guys are the people that we name our churches after. I grew up and went to St. James Lutheran Church. This shows the lovely reality of the struggle that God has with his people. And it's not lovely. But he does not look at us and say that he's not going to have anything to do with us either. Even in our complete and absolute state of self-centeredness, which is where we are at most of the time. What's in it for me? And Jesus tells them, can you drink of the cup that I'm about to drink? Can you be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized? And what do they say? Yeah, we are able. We think we can do this, Jesus. Absolutely. So much for Peter being messing things up, and now James and John. What they don't realize is that Jesus is talking about the cup of wrath that he's going to take on for their sins, for your sins, for the sins of the entire world. And what they also don't realize is that the ancients would often talk about martyrdom as being a baptism by blood. That blood would be poured out as those who were martyred for the faith would go forward. He's talking about his own suffering and death for the sins of the world. There is no glory in the eyes of the world in these things. It's suffering, shame. It's something that seems like a giant failure. And he says to them, the cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left hand is not mine to grant, but it is for those to whom it has been prepared. Jesus' glory is not where we think his glory is to be found. His glory is found in suffering. It is found in flogging. It is found in spitting. It is found in the shedding of blood and nails being put into flesh as the Son of God is lifted up for the entire world. He talks about that as being his hour, his time of glory. The world looks at it as a time of suffering and failure. The world looks at nice, happy, shiny, joyous things as being glorious. Jesus says, no, I work in opposites. And so what James and John were really asking in the mind of God was that they could suffer and that they could die like Jesus has died and suffered. They don't know what they're asking because of the struggle we plainly have. What's in all of this for me? And then if that's not bad enough, if it's not bad enough that these two guys say this to Jesus, then the other 10 become absolutely indignant with them. Why? We don't know. Maybe they sat there and said, now, why didn't I ask that of Jesus? Now, maybe Jesus will give me something that I'm looking for out of this as well. And this gives us a wonderful picture of the life of the church at times as well. We have those who do things and those who sit and receive things. And those things are perfectly fine all the way around. But we all, by faith, should be looking at all of this asking the one common thing. Not what's in this for me, but what is God doing for me? Not in terms of giving me what I want, but in order to save me. And he has. Jesus tells them, because you follow me, because you have been changed, because you now follow my way, you will look at one another in different ways. You will no longer look at one another and saying, what's in this for me? You will look at one another and simply say, as I have said to you, I have not come to be served, but to serve. I will serve you, my neighbor. I will serve you, my fellow brother or sister in Christ here at the church. I will serve, as Peter says, with great hospitality, the love towards those who are strangers. I will serve and give up all that I have, if possible, so that the love of Christ may flow in and through me. And it will, because Jesus has already done it. I did not come to be served. I did not come saying to the Father, "What's in all of this for me?" I came and have given myself up freely for the life of the whole world, for you. For you and for me, even when we are maybe sitting at a place like this and saying, "What's in all of this for me?" He's already done it all for you. Solely focused all on you, squarely focused all on you, with great love, with great compassion and mercy. So that in the midst of our struggles against our own flesh, let alone the struggles that we have with one another in our lives, His love, His amazing love that we just sang about, that is really unknown in so many areas, may flow and abide freely from this place. What's in it for me? The baptism that you have been given is not the baptism of blood, but the baptism of water and the Spirit, by which all of your sins have been drowned, the Holy Spirit has been granted unto you, and you have been claimed by God as one of His beloved children. That cup right there that you are going to partake of this morning is not the cup of God's wrath, but the cup of God's blessing that has been filled with His holy and precious blood for you. And as you partake of it, it is not something that He gives to you to condemn you, but to save you, squared solely and focused solely on you for the blessings of life and salvation. And this cup that we partake of as well is the same cup that strengthens our faith, that moves us by His love to go out and to be different people at this place and in our various places where God has placed us, to be salt, to be light, to be His beauty, to be His messengers of hope to a world that is so squared focusedly, so focused squarely on themselves, so that others might hear the wondrous news that God is not concerned about Himself, but about you and about this world. He is concerned so much with it that He has given up His life to serve us. So what's in it for you? So much. So much more than you can ever recount or recall, and so much more has been prepared for you on the final day. So much more that the Father who is waiting for us will look upon us and not say, "What is it that you have done for me?" But rather, "Come and receive all that I have prepared for you." To Christ alone be all the glory, now and forever. Amen.